It's funny to think about it now. It wasn't that long ago, but when I was younger, when I was a kid, I used to run. I used to run everywhere. Something in me. I wouldn't stop. I ran to my parents. I ran to my bed. I just ran. And I think we're all sort of like that. We're all on fire for life, with no responsibilities, just living and excited to get places. And then at some point, I stopped. We all stopped. We just started walking. We started coping, getting comfortable, getting content. We were no longer on fire. We were no longer passionate. There was no longer the burning desire in our hearts. But we kept walking, fitting in. And you could call it whatever you want. Proper, easy, normal. But it all just seemed so boring. Is this what it was about? But maybe we need to get passionate again. Maybe life isn't about being comfortable or content or making it easy. Maybe we were supposed to be different and be passionate, not lukewarm. Maybe instead of walking around and being normal, we are supposed to be radical. Maybe we're supposed to run.
Talk to you just for a few moments today about the thought, you were born to run. You were born to run. In our lifetime, I believe that everyone of God is destined for us to run a race. But the question is, over our lifetime, that we many times find ourselves not running, but many times walking or sitting still or injured on the sideline and not taking a part of the destiny that God has for our life. And today, I believe very much important that every one of us here, that God has called you to run. He's called me to run. And he's never wanted us just to walk through life with like, I don't know what's happening, man. I'm just kind of dead in my space. But God wants you to have life. He wants you to have passion. And I'm not talking about just a passion for a hobby or for a sport or for a school. But he's talking about a passion in your life, for a destiny that you have. And so I want to talk to you just a few minutes about you were born to run. Hebrews 12:1 makes it very clear to us in the scripture. It says, therefore, look what it says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw aside everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, we know today that God is calling us. He's saying, lay aside the things that are heavy. Lay aside the things that weigh you down. And you're called to run a race with perseverance. How many know perseverance? Any guys ever experienced perseverance in your life? How many know when you get back to two-a-days, get back in the training camp after being off all summer, it takes a little perseverance to get back into shape. It takes a little perseverance when you've been hurt in life and things aren't going your way. It takes perseverance when you get a laid off from your job. It takes perseverance when you go through a tragedy. It takes perseverance when you go through a deep disappointment in your life. Life is full of challenges where you're going to have to learn to persevere. You're going to learn to push through and break through the barrier that's in front of you. And if we're not careful, we'll let circumstances keep us on the sidelines. We'll let life keep us on the sidelines. We'll let disappointment keep us on the sidelines. And God wants you to run. God wants you to take a part of this life. He says, I've given you life, man, that you would have it abundantly. He wants you to enjoy your life. He has a destiny for you. He's called you to run. And As I was thinking about this, many people in the Bible who God has called, and they ran to the fullest, man. They're people who were not perfect people, people who made a lot of mistakes. And the Bible is full of people who decided to run. And I just want to talk to you for one of my favorite guys in the Bible today, just a few minutes, about King David. And King David is just a guy who decided he was going to persevere through tragedy. He was going to persevere through things in his life. And he accomplished, and he ran this race. And so I want to talk to you about this perseverance, about running this life. And we're going to look at David's life and talk more about that. We're going to turn to 1 Samuel 16, verse 6 and 7 in just a second here. But let me set it up for you. What's happening here is King Saul, the king of Israel, has disappointed God to the point where he is no longer following God for what God's instruction is for his nation. And so therefore God tells the high priest Samuel, he says, hey, I'm taking my hand of anointing, a blessing off of Saul, and I want you to go to anoint a new king. And he says, hey, go to Jesse's house. He's got a lot of sons there. The future king of Israel is at Jesse's house. So Samuel goes out to Jesse and says, hey, Jesse, God's got a king as one of your sons. He's got 8 sons there. He says, one of your sons is going to be the king. And so this is what happened. So they arrived, and Samuel saw Eliab. This is Jesse's oldest son. And he thought, surely this is God's anointed. He stands here before the Lord. I mean, he walked out. This is, I'm sure, was the tallest, the biggest, the strongest, probably the best-looking guy out of all the bunch. He was the pick of the litter. He was the one that everybody's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's him. Yeah, that's him. And so I was actually what Samuel thought when he looked at him. He's like, yeah, this has got to be the next king of Israel. But look what it says. Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before me. That was Samuel's first impression. But the Lord spoke to Samuel and said, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look on things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And we find out very clear here that God is looking at the heart. This is how God judges. And so the natural aspect is this, that the man looks on the outward and says, hey, this is a good-looking guy. This guy, he's tall, broad shoulders, he's smart, good student. This must be the next king. But God reminded Samuel that he doesn't judge the way the world judges. And so for many of us here, we're judged on the way we look. We're judged, the world will always judge you on how you look. They'll always judge you according to your status. They'll judge you according to your income. They will judge you according to the way you dress. They will judge you according to so many things, your accomplishments in life, your degrees. But God says, I don't judge a man that way. God doesn't judge us according to our accomplishments. God says, I judge you according to your heart. And that's a big thing for us to understand. And David, there was something about David's heart that God says, you know what? I see the future king of Israel in the heart of David. And it wasn't the oldest. He wasn't the best looking one. But he was the one that God says, I see his heart. There's something about his heart that's differently. Make it no clear that the world will say success in your life depends on how many wins you get this year, guys. They're going to look at you, coach, and say, success is how many wins. Can you have more wins than you had last year? There's a lot of pressure we put on society on things, but I'm glad today to tell you that God doesn't judge you according to wins and losses. God judges you according to raising up men of integrity. Am I teaching these guys to work and to persevere? Am I teaching these guys the right thing? Now, you want to keep a job, you better have a few more wins. But that's just always things that always happens with any coach, right? We all know that, guys. But today, I'm excited that God isn't always. What's the most important thing is what God thinks about me. The most important thing is what does God think about me. And so to you today, God looks at you and he doesn't say, all right, you got 3 degrees and you're driving a new car and you live in a new house. And man, you got 2.5 kids. You got a great marriage. And the world looks at that and says success. But God judges you differently. God judges you according to what's in a man's heart. That's what's important today, and we got to make sure our priorities are right. And David had this right. He knew that running his race, that God was going to judge him according to his heart. The second thing we see here is that God promotes the humble. That God promotes the humble. I love this story because we see in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, look what it says here. So what had happened here is, let me set this up. What had happened here is they went through all the brothers, all 7 older brothers. And God never spoke to Samuel. Samuel, none of these guys are it. And finally, Samuel says, Jesse, is there anybody else here? Do you have any other sons? He's like, oh, yeah, my youngest son. He's out taking care of the sheep outside. But, you know, we didn't even bring him in. You probably wouldn't like him. And Samuel says, bring him here. We're not going to sit down until you bring the kid here. And he brings David in. And this is what it says here. When Samuel took the horn of oil, and he anointed him in the presence of his brothers. As soon as he walked in, Samuel knew that God said, this is the man. I've looked at his heart. He's got a good heart. He's got a good heart, and today this is how I judge him. And look what happened. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power, and Samuel left and went to Ramah. Now listen to this. This is so important. I think you probably read the story before. Some of you have read the story before, but have you ever thought about this? How many here has siblings? How many's ever had an older sibling? Okay. So how many younger siblings we have here? You got older siblings, okay? A lot of people here. How many know that David was picked on all his life, being the youngest? Man, he got the hand-me-downs. He got the last one to get the last piece. I mean, he got the neck when it came down to the chicken. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody else got everything else. He got the neck. And I'm sure when Dad wasn't around, man, they were thumping him in the ear. They were playing football, and he was the football. Okay, I mean, they were taking him out, and they were picking on this guy. And I'm sure in David's heart, he's thinking, one day, you guys are going to pick on the wrong guy. And we see this happening, and David's anointed king. And one of the most awesome things we see here is this, that he anoints him not only as king, but he's anointed king, and where? In the presence of his brothers. Now, I don't know about you, but if that had been me, if I'd have been David, the first thing I would have done was this. You guys are going to be bowing down to me. I am the king. Hey, brother, bring me some water. I mean, I'd have been already starting to practice, man. We would have been like, all right, you've been picking on the future king of Israel all your life. But now what you got to say? But what we see in David's heart was not animosity. We didn't see in David's heart this pride coming up. But what we see David doing was he just went back out, took care of the sheep. Even though he was the future king of Israel, had just been anointing his brother. We see David leave. He doesn't gloat over his brothers. We don't say, all right, you guys better start bowing now. He doesn't gloat. What's he do? He goes back out and takes care of the sheep. See, there's a humbleness in his heart that God saw that and he judged it. He saw that there was a humility there. And God always has promised to bless those who are humble. 1 Peter 5:5. Look what it says. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility. Be humble. Clothe yourselves. Be humble toward one another. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, I need a lot of grace. And God has given me a lot of grace in my life. But one thing God says is he hates and he opposes is those who are proud in our life. And so when we carry around pride in our life, thinking that we're better than, when we think that, you know what, you know, I've got what's coming to me. God opposes that. Now, let me just tell you this real quickly. There's one thing we don't want in our life is what? We don't want God to oppose us, do we? I mean, if there's one testimony I want to say for my life is God doesn't look at me and say, I oppose you. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that for God to say, hey, I oppose you, sir. I oppose you, ma'am. It doesn't get any worse than that. So how do we stop that? God says, if you'll stay humble, he gives you much grace. Other scriptures teach us that God exalts those who are humble, and he brings down those who are full of pride. So we got to get past ourselves and say, you know what? That it's not about my accomplishments in life. It's not about what I do in my life on the outward. It's about the heart. That's what God is looking at overall. That's still the most important thing. That's still the most important thing in my life is how is my heart? Is my heart right with God? Is my heart, first of all, right with him? Second of all, is my heart in the right place? To have a heart that's humble, that says, God, you know what? Everything I get, it's a blessing from you. And God, I give you honor. God, everything I do, it's a blessing from you, and I give you honor. Or my pride and say, look what I've done all on my own. God opposes that, but God looks at people who are humble, and he exalts them. People who run the race, humble. We even see this example in a few verses down. I saw it on the overhead today, but I want to tell you the story real fast. It says that Saul, because God had pulled his hand from him, Saul was going crazy, man. Saul was about to have a nervous breakdown. So they said, hey, do we have anybody who's a good musician? They said, yeah, there's the son of Jesse. They called David up, and David was a great musician. And David would come, and he would play for Saul when Saul was going through the trouble he was. And when David would play, he said Saul would calm down, and that spirit would leave him. It also says that Saul liked him so much that he made David one of his armor bearers, which basically meant he was in charge of carrying the king's armor in war. That he protected his back. Now, can you put yourself in his shoes? David is anointed the next king of Israel. In order for him to be the next king of Israel, the first king has to what? He's got to die. So you put the guy in line for the promotion in charge of protecting the king's life. Now, most people, the natural, will be like, I'm ready for my promotion. I'm tired of taking care of the sheep on the backside of the desert. I'm ready to become the next king of Israel. God's already anointed me. And so it'd be very easy to not do your job up to the way you should. Oh, sorry about that one, king. I missed that spirit coming through there. Oh, let me pull it out of your chest. You know, it would have been very easy to do things that would speed up what you wanted to do in your own heart. But see, David had a different heart. There was something about David when he ran the race that was different. That he looked and said, you know what? I'm going to protect the king. Even though he's not right, even though God has upset him, I'm going to do everything I can to protect him. I'm going to play for him. I'm going to soothe him. Man, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I put my life on the line for the king. I mean, how many of us would change our place of business, our work? How many of us would change things for God if we would take that same approach to our everyday life? And when we go into work, we don't see people around us as threats. But we see people around us as, you know what? I have a place to show God's love. I have a place to show God's love today. And man, I'm gonna treat people with respect. I'm going to take people who are gunning for my job. And you know what? I'm not going to be threatened by them. How many of us on the team today? I know that we think about this. There's a lot of new guys coming in. And man, they're fighting for the starting job, just like every one of you are fighting for starting jobs. How good would the team be if the team says, you know what? The older guys say, I'm going to embrace those who are gunning for my job. I'm going to teach them everything I know. And then I'm going to try to shove it down their throat on the practice field. That's okay. But you know what? I'm going to encourage him. I'm not going to try to. I don't want him to do bad so I can do good. But I want him to do good so as a team, we can be better. It's the same principle. It goes on only in the team aspect. But it goes over in your job. It goes over in your school. It goes over in your work. It goes over in our heart that we are people who are not looking to elevate ourselves, but people who are looking to say, God, I want you to elevate me. And I want to make others better. God likes those kind of people who want to make other people better. And God blesses those people who want to make other people better. David had that heart, even though he knew that he was called to be the next king. He wanted to make King Saul the best he could be. Number three, we see that when David ran his race that God uses people who don't give up. God uses people who don't give up. They persevere. We see now in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, we see the story happening here. And let me set this up for you before we read this verse. So what happened here is the men had gone to war. David was left on the backside of the desert taking care of the sheep because all of his brothers were out fighting the war. And while they were there, it says that Goliath appeared. You've ever heard the story of David and Goliath? The giant appeared. The Goliath appeared, and he was opposing the children of Israel, threatening them, hey, man, send down your best man. Let's go one-on-one. If I win, you guys become slaves to us. If you win, we'll become slaves to you. But send down your best, man. And he was roaring out, and it says that the children of Israel were very afraid because he was so big, he was so huge, they were so intimidated by this giant that these guys were ducking, man. They didn't want any part of Goliath. And it says that David was sent by his father to go out and take care of, give me a report, son. So take this cheese and crackers down to your brothers, and here's some fluid. Man, go down there and give it to him, but get a report what's going on. So when David was there bringing supplies to his brothers, he hears what's happening, and he hears the Goliath roaring out. And when this happens, it says that everybody went and hid. And David was like, what are you guys hiding for, man? Who's afraid of the competition? I mean, who's afraid of those who are opposing? And we see this happening here. And matter of fact, they go, well, listen, man, Goliath is challenging the people of Israel. And anybody who takes him on and defeats him, man, the king has promised his daughter. The king has promised no taxes, man. You're going to be set up for life. And David's like, what? The king's daughter? Money? And he's like, whoa, I'm really now interested. So he really gets his ears up. What's going on here? And what happens is this, is as he's asking about it, his older brother sees him asking about what happens to the man who defeats him. And look how his older brother responds to him. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, his brother burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you lead those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. And we see this happening here, that as soon as David decides, you know what? I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to stand up to this Goliath. He's already thinking in his heart, I'm going to stand up to this Goliath. Everybody else is afraid. I'm ready to take him on. And as soon as he begins to ask and even inquire about stepping out and doing something for God, this is what happened. His brother, of all people, David, you? What are you thinking, David? You're conceited anyway. Future king of Israel. You see it already, the animosity. You future king of Israel. You're already conceited, man. And I know what's really in your heart, David. I know that you're really not as tough as you think you are. David, you're really not all that you think you are. And his brothers are shooting him down right there. Let me tell you this, that many times in your life that God will give you a dream, that God will give you a vision, that God will give you some goals in your life to accomplish. And people will come to you, and many times it's even your own family, and they'll say, you know what? You can't do it. You can't make it. You'll not accomplish it. It's impossible. And you're trying to do better, and you've got a God-given dream in your life, and you're trying to get that thing accomplished, and people come by you and say, man, you're crazy. You can't accomplish this. You can't do that. And many times it's those that are very close to you that try to steal the dreams that God's given you in your heart. But I'm here to tell you today that God likes those who persevere. God loves those who don't listen to those who say, you can't accomplish it. You can't do it. I'm going to show a video clip here real fast. As we prepare this video clip, it's of a high school football team. Many of you have seen the movie Facing the Giants, and I love this clip because it's a clip that says this. This guy's trying to teach his team to be winners. Man, these guys were the biggest losers ever. And the coach is trying to turn this team's attitude around, their spirit around, get them to think out of the box so they can accomplish more. Look at the scene real fast.
All right, let's go. Show me something. 10 yards. Move it. Move it. Let's go. Let's go, Mac. Let's go. Let's go, Jonathan. Show me something. 10 yards. Show me some power. No knees. Keep your knees off the ground. Show me something. There we go. 10 yards. Show me some muscle. Show me some power. Give me some heart. Let's go. Very good, boy. Very good. Let's run it back.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50. I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Not at the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm bad out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
Hearts are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit. No. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Brock Kelly, you don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. No, Brock Kelly. You don't quit on me. No, you keep going. You keep going. Go, Brock. 10 more steps. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. Keep going. Don't quit. Give me your heart. You can. You can. 5 more. 5 more. Come on, Brock. Come on. Don't quit. Don't quit. Come on, Brock. 2 more. 1 more.
It's got to be 50. I'll have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field in your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
God uses people who persevere, those who don't give up, because the question is not when life's going to get tough, because it's going to happen to every one of us. Life gets tough. Many times in your life, it's going to get tough. For some of you this season, you're going to have some things arise, and it's going to be tough. For any of you this year in your family, things are going to happen. It's going to be things that happen that are tough, and things in your job are going to happen that are going to be really tough. And you're going to think, I can't do it, man. I can't make it. I can't accomplish it. I can't stick it out. I can't do this. But God is looking for people. And this is the people that God looks at in their heart who said, you know what, I'm not going to stop no matter what. I'm not going to give up no matter what. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to hang on to God. Even when I don't understand it, God, I'm going to hang on to you. God, even when I don't know the answers to all that's going on in my life, I know one thing, God, if I'll hang on to you and put you at the center and first of my life, that God, you will carry me. God, you will take me and help me go beyond what I ever thought I could do on my own. God, you'll take me and push me to a place of perseverance. God looks for people who don't give up. He's not looking for quitters. He's looking for those who say, God, I'm going to stick with you because you got my hand. You're going to take me through the next level. This is the people who God's looking to run the race, that we run the race not willing to give up. And you're going to have people come to you. And I believe this is probably the most important thing in your life, guys. Everyone here today, let me say this to you, that this is probably the most important key that you'll have, that when God puts a dream in your heart, if God gives you a destiny heart, there's always going to be those that are very close to you to come and say, you can't accomplish it. You cannot make it. It will not happen. That's just a pipe dream. It won't happen. But I love what David does here. I love what David does here. And I love David's response. David's response was so cool. David's response was so awesome here. We see what David just says, the Word of God says that David turned. Look what he says now. David's response to his brother, now what have I done? That's what he's telling his brother. What have I done? Said David. Can I even speak? And listen, this is the most important key in David's life at this point. I believe the most turning point from David fulfilling his destiny as a king to the point of making a life change here. His brother is saying, David, you can't do this. You can't fight the giant. You can't win this war. Look what he says. David just turned around to somebody else and said, now what's happening again with this? He just turns to his brother basically and says, eh. That's what he does. His brother says, you can't do this. You'll never do this. He says, ah. Now tell me about it. What's going on with this war? He turned to somebody else. And listen, when you're going to have people who are going to speak to you, who say you can't accomplish it, you can't do it, you can't live for God, you can't accomplish what God's put in your heart, you got dreams, it won't happen, they'll never be fulfilled, you got goals that God has given you to set in your life, and it won't happen. And what happens you're supposed to do? You turn to somebody else and say, let me tell you what God's put in my heart. Let me tell you what God's going to do in my life. I'm not going to listen to those who are doubters. I'm not going to listen to those who are negative. Listen, small people like to steal away big dreams from big people because they can't accomplish themselves and they've given up. And so they don't want you to accomplish anything. So they'll bite in your ear, man, and tell you, yeah, you can't do it. It's never been done before. But listen, if you persevere and say, God, I'm putting you first in my life. God, I'm putting you first in my heart. I'm not going to give up on the goals you give me. God, I'm not going to give up on my dream. Some of you have people here in your life. You've got children who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you've been to wonder, will they ever come to know him? Don't give up on that. Don't give up praying, asking God to save your family. Some of you have dreams that God's spoken to you, very personal, and you laid them aside. And today, God wants you to pick those dreams back up and say, God, I want to persevere. I want to hold on to the thing you've called me to do. This is the race that God's looking for us to run. A race. This is what God exalts in people. And quickly, let me give this to you. Number four, God uses people who are faithful in the little things. God uses people who are faithful in the little things. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And Saul replied, you are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. This is Saul talking to King David now. Of course, he was the king at the time. David says, Saul, I want to fight him. And this is Saul's response to him. You're not able to go out and fight this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. And he has been fighting as a man from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion and bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it. And I struck it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. For your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, don't you like the attitude behind that? Couldn't he just say, this Philistine, the man he had this, you could tell David had something roaring in his heart, man, against this giant. This giant was rubbing him the wrong way. He was tired of this giant trying to steal away the dreams of Israel. And he doesn't just call him Philistine. He says, no, this uncircumcised Philistine. He's just putting the jab in there, man. Will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. Now, I love this about David because David was on the backside taking care of his father's sheep, but his heart was so pure before God that he was going to do his job faithfully, even when nobody was looking. It had been very easy when the lion and the bear came to take one from the flock and say, Dad, sorry, we lost one today. We lost a couple today. God, I couldn't help it. But David put his life on the line for the thing he was called to do. He was faithful, even though nobody else was watching. Even though nobody else could see what's happening, David was faithful in taking care of the thing. Sometimes in your life, you feel like, man, I got so many dreams that God's given me. I got so many things that God's called me to do. But I just can't wait. I'll be faithful, God, when you exalt me into that time. God, I will be a better Christian, God, when you allow me to step into this opportunity. God, I'll serve you when you allow this to happen. And God's like, no, you serve me right now where you're at. When you are faithful over the things that God's put in your life right now. When you're the best student you can be. When you're the best mom you can be, the best dad you can be. When you're the best employer, the best boss, whoever you are. When you become the best person you can be now, then God lifts that person up and exalts them. He's looking for those who are faithful. It had been very easy for David to say, you know what? Hey, I'm not touching this, man. Here, have your pick. But no, he was willing to risk his life for the job he'd been given. When we run this race, God's looking for people who are committed to even the little things in life. These are the people that God exalts. These are the people who God uses in their life. And the very last thing, God uses people who are not afraid to be themselves. Plain and simple, God uses people who are not afraid to be themselves. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38 and 39, then Saul dressed David out in his own tunic, and he put the coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head, and David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried to walk around because he was not used to them. Look what he said to Saul. Saul, can I go in these? Because I am not used to them. So he took them off, and he took a staff in hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in a pouch of a shepherd's bag, and with the sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Now, what happened here was that Saul automatically tried to put his armor on David. And that armor was custom made for the king. It was a custom made armor for the king, man. It was custom made to fit Saul's body. And so when David tried to put it on, it didn't feel right. It was too heavy. He wasn't used to it. David knew if he went out and tried to be Saul in that battle, he was going to lose. And many of us here in our life, that we are the same way. We will try to be somebody else. We'll try to be somebody else. You know, I've got to be this person. And in order to be a Christian, I got to be this person. And I got to do this. I got to act this way. And I got to act just like this person right here. And God has never called you to be somebody else. That God wants to use you exactly where you are today. Exactly the way he's formed you. You have unique gifts. You have unique callings in your life. Every one of us do. We're unique. You know, as a pastor, it'd be very easy for me to look out and say, you know what? I need to be like this pastor over here. I need to do like he's doing over here. I mean, there's a lot of famous pastors, but look out and look at what God uses. I mean, look at T.D. Jakes. You like him? Anybody like T.D. Jakes in here? Look at T.D. Jakes. His style is what? You better get ready, get ready, get ready. I mean, he's just right out there. And he's got a great church. But look at Pastor Joe Osteen. Hi, welcome to Lakewood. We're glad you turned in today. I'm just going to smile the whole time because I like to smile. Two totally opposite guys. But God is using both those guys in a mighty way. Why is that? Because they have learned to be themselves. T.D. Jakes can never be Joe Osteen. And Joe Osteen can never be T.D. Jakes. Can you imagine Joe Osteen? Get ready, get ready, get ready. I mean, that's not going to happen. He can never do that. But when you learn to be yourself and let God use who you are, not only as a pastor, but as a Christian, as a student, when you learn to be who you are and say, you know what, God, I want to learn to be the person you called me to be. And God takes that person and they're running the race that God has called them to be, man. What an awesome thing. God exalts these people. Let's go back to our original scripture now and look what it says about running the race. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Look what the second part of this says. We didn't read it a while ago. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning his shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're called to run a race, man. Every one of us here, we're called to run this race with passion, with life. And how do we do that? The most important part of running your race. God uses people who I just described when he run the race, who are humble, who persevere, people who are faithful in the little things. God judges upon the heart. What's the most important thing to God is wanting us to run a race with our eyes fixed upon him. Our eyes fixed upon him. We run this race fixed upon Jesus. Every one of us here, we have a destiny in our life. And our destiny is more than what we think right now. Our destiny is more than what we can even imagine right now. Our destiny is to run our race to the fullest with our eyes fixed upon Jesus. That's what he's called us to do. Let's say, Jesus Christ, I know you as my Lord and Savior in my life. I'm putting my eyes upon you. I'm not perfect, but God, I'm going to come just as I am. Lord, I'm going to confess you as Lord, and I want to learn to live after you and go after you. I want to do more than what I am. I'm tired of this being empty. Because, see, this is what happens in our life is that we think we can fill the void in our life with so many things. We think that a job and a certain salary is going to fill the void in our life. We think that a certain relationship is going to fill the void in our life. We think that having a certain size of house is going to fill the void in our life. We think that having so many degrees is going to fill a void in our life. We think that saying I'm a part of a college football team is going to fill a void in our life. And what's going to happen is you're going to realize that nothing ever fills the void and you're shooting for the next goal, the next goal, the next goal. It's not until we say, God, I want to put my eyes upon you and allow you to fill the void in my life. I want to accept your son, Jesus Christ, in my life. That I begin to get peace in my life. That I get a clear, present vision of the destiny of the race that God's called me to live. God's calling every one of us today. Let's bow our heads together. Today, nobody's looking around here, but I just want to ask you this simple question today. It may be one of the most important questions I've ever asked anybody. It's this question today that, you know what? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever made that commitment saying, I want to learn to ask Jesus to forgive me my sins? I want to ask him to come into my heart. And I want to learn to fulfill the destiny that God's called me to go. I want to learn to run this race, definitely. Not only do I want to make heaven my home, but I got to confess I'm a sinner. And God, I'm in need of you. It's a big step that all of us have to make. I don't care who you are today, where you come from today. God is asking all of us the same question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to run this race that I've called you to run? Today, nobody's looking around but me, and I would not embarrass you in any way at all. But with every head bowed and every eye closed here today, I want to ask you a personal question. Say, if you're here, say, Pastor Gene, today I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to learn to get into the race that God's called me to run. And first of all, I want to start with getting my priorities straight and making Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. Maybe you never prayed that prayer today, or maybe you prayed that prayer in the past, but today you say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer a long time ago, but I just haven't been living for God at all. And today, just being in this service has compelled my heart to get back and to renew my relationship with Jesus. If you're here today, nobody's looking but me, can you just slip your hand up where I can see it and say, Pastor, that's me today. I'm ready to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else here today, you want to join these guys? Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else today, say, that's me. I want to join them today. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to give you that chance today. Just raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. Nobody else see you but me. Thank you. Anybody else today? Keep it up. I can see it. You want to join these people today making a heartfelt decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I want you to look at me. Those of you who raised your hands today, it's such an important decision to follow after Christ. So that's what we're going to do as a congregation. We're going to all say this prayer. They're going to repeat after me. We're going to say this prayer. And especially those who raised your hands today, I want you to say this prayer from your heart. So let's say it together with our eyes closed. Jesus, I give you my heart. I confess my sin to you. I want to live for you. I give you everything I am. I confess you as Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you who prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah, we just want to give you a hand clap. Now this, listen, being a Christian, it's more than just saying a prayer. It's also about saying, God, I want to pursue my life after the teachings of your Word of God. I want to know you closer. I want to know you more. It's just the start of a journey. It's not a one-time prayer and then you walk out of here and say, all right. No, it's about finding a home church. It's about finding a place where I can get involved with other Christians and grow and be discipled and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you don't have a church home today, we'd love to have you back here anytime. We'd love to just love on you, man, and help you in that walk. If you have a church home, get plugged into that church. If you need help, I'm sure your coach would love to tell you a bunch of good churches in town that he can help send you to, man. Today, how many today say, Pastor, I want to run the race that God's called me to run? Anybody else here want to say, I want to run that race, man? I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. How many know God's never called you to walk, man? He's calling you to run. Run this race with passion, with life. Some of you here today, as I was talking, you know what I'm talking about. You've allowed life to come and to stop you from running the race that God's called you to run. You've been hurt before. You've been disappointed. And things have kept you from running the race that God's called you to. And today, God's calling you to run that race. I'm going to pray for you in closing today. And we're going to pray that God would help you run this race. Father, I thank you for every person here. I thank you, Lord, for commitment to being here this morning. Lord, I pray that every one of us here, Lord, would learn to run the race that you called us to. With our eyes fixed upon Jesus, Lord, in humility, Lord, you judge our heart and see us, Lord. Lord, most of all, we persevere and not give up when obstacles come, when people come against us, God, that we would know that we can make it as long as we're connected to you, Lord, as we keep our eyes upon the goal, the prize that you called us to. That prize is the high calling of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for everybody that's here. God, we leave today with our hearts full of your presence, God. And we thank you, Father, that you called us to run this race. And we're going to run. And we say it together, amen, amen, amen. Guys, right here, with Mr. Buddy, Just give us about 3 or 4 minutes here, and we'll be ready for it. We're going to serve you food, and just to my right and to the back. But the rest of you, say, God bless you today. Shake a hand as you leave.